Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hell's Kitchen when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. And all of this surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from your bank deposit to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security for all of us. All right, I don't deny that, but it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. That's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. A study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, that's New York State, and those state agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. Those systems contained 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and each one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and a very logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry, how do they obtain all of this information? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for anyway? Well, knowing how this information is being gathered and what information is being stored and what information you want to keep personal and want to keep private, it actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. And let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and just as private as you want to be. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And just call. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and you can send us an email. Now, that site is georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book Hell's Kitchen, sent to us by the good folks at BraveNewBookstore.com. They're in the book selling business. They want to sell you this book, just like Barnes & Noble and the author would like to sell you a copy of the book. And I thought it was so good, I rated it a 1 in 100. And once in a while, somebody will say, "What do you mean that's a 1 in 20 book? Or what's that 1 in 100? Well, I read and review a lot of material here. And you can read a book, and let's just take a book. This is a health book. There's no shortage of health books out there. Hell, there's hundreds of health books. Go to the health food store. They'll have a section in there on health books. And a lot of them are really good. One of them that comes to mind is How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician by Robert Mendelson. That's a 1 in 100 book. I mean, you can read a lot of health books telling you to buy vitamins and minerals and do this and do that and one thing and another. You know, they're about as common as pig tracks in a barnyard. But every once in a while, you pick up a book and it's different. It's a common subject, but the book is so different. Mark Twain, you know, had a writing style. He had a way of putting words on paper that made him interesting. There's lots of authors out there, but there's only one Mark Twain. There's only, you know, you pick up a book and there's just only one guy that can write like that. And this guy, Joel Wallach, is one of those. There's just something about this guy. He's kind of fun and he's kind of funny. And he put out, he's got a catalog here in the book. I won't get into the catalog. I'd call him though and ask for his catalog. He's got lots of material and he's just as funny as you can get. And if you're looking for some laughs, I mean, this guy's funnier than Red Skelton. So he put out a tape one time called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It's about an hour tape. And, you know, you almost have to pull off to the side of the road. You know, if you're driving down the road, you'll be laughing so hard tears will be coming down your cheeks. And he's just logical. He's just telling you, well, this is, and that's what makes it so funny. See, the truth and logic are actually kind of funny. You know, once in a while, I'll make an observation. I'll say, you know, you get cancer, who do you go to? You go to a doctor. And the doctor says, I don't know what causes cancer, and I don't know how to cure it. But I got a treatment. And as long as you got money, we got treatment. Now, you wouldn't think of taking your car to a mechanic in a garage. And, you know, just think about it for a minute. You take your car into a garage, and you say, hey, my car ain't running right. Then the mechanic listens to it, and you say, do you know what's wrong with it? He says, no. Can you fix it? No. But for $25 an hour, I'll work on your car till you run out of money. You wouldn't leave your car in the care of a mechanic that told you the truth, that no, I don't know what's wrong with your car, and no, I don't know how to fix it. But that's what the medical profession does. They say, we don't know what causes cancer, and we don't have a cure for it, but boy, do we have a treatment. For $100,000, we'll treat you until you die. Or as long as you got insurance. Now, that's what makes that funny. It's insane. It's ludicrous. It's preposterous. That's why Mad Magazine is fun. That's why it's fun and funny. And that's why Joel Wallach is fun and funny, because he pokes fun at what is so common, what is so obvious, what is so logical. And he'll hit your funny bone. There's just no two ways about it. And in chapter 11, he's got a chapter here on pica cribbing and the munchies. Pica cribbing and the munchies. And he's an old-timey veterinarian, you know. This is the guy that says, what you need to do is to put a mineral block. Go down to the feed store. Get a mineral block. It's what you feed your cows, your sheep, your goats. And put the mineral block on the dining room table. And when you walk by it, lick on it. It's what cows do. Cows don't have diabetes. Cows, they have minerals. They got a mineral block out there. That's why we put that mineral block out there, to make sure that they've got all of the minerals that they're going to need. Now, there's some things that you need to know about vitamins and minerals. There's 92 of them. There's amino acids and proteins. And I don't have the time to count up all these minerals and vitamins and amino acids and all this kind of crap, and then put it in little boxes, you know, and then dutifully take it with breakfast, you know, and drink your milk and all that. I don't have time for that. So I concentrate on the logic behind eating whole grain foods. Why would I want to eat a Winchell's donut when I can sit down and eat whole oats? Now, most people, you know, they buy these quick oats, you know, from Quaker, something that's been manufactured and denatured. I don't. I just buy the same oats that I feed my cows, roll them, and make oatmeal out of them. And no, they don't cook in 60 seconds. You got to cook them for about 15 minutes. But, you know, when you get through, then you've got some vitamins and minerals in the pot. Same thing with rice. I don't buy that rice-a-roni crap. I buy whole grain rice, brown rice. And I don't have pellagra, and I don't have beriberi and scurvy and rickets and so on. So in the last program, I showed you that you got 450 diseases out there in the doctor's desk reference, and the doctor has a treatment for all 450 of them. They don't know what causes a lot of them. The answer is it's vitamin mineral deficiencies, or you're being poisoned. It's either a toxin or a poison, or starvation. And if you're fat, you're being starved to death. And the reason that you're always got the munchies, I mentioned this last time, got the munchies because you're hungry. And so you think that, well, if I just eat another, ho-ho, Twinkie, or ding-dong, that'll satisfy my hunger. It's not how much you stick into your stomach. It's how many minerals are in there. And if you want to test this, let me give you a quick test. Next time you're hungry for a banana, you know, it comes up every once in a while, you get hungry for a banana. Go peel a banana and eat it. Okay, now you're full of banana. Okay, now peel a second one and eat it. I'll guarantee you, you'll get full of banana. Bananas have so much potassium in them. I mean, they're just loaded with potassium. I can eat about one banana a week. That's about 52 a year. If you were to sit there and eat three or four bananas, I mean, you're hungry to start with. And instead of sitting down and eating a big steak and potatoes, instead of eating a Big Mac and fries, just eat banana. Eat banana until you're full. I'll guarantee you'll be full with the second banana. And that's because the banana goes down in your stomach, that potassium comes out and says, no, no, stop, stop, no more, please, no more, no more banana. And if you keep eating it, you'll puke. That's all. I don't think you can eat enough Big Mac to puke. Well, maybe you can, but it's not very likely. And when you get through eating all this fat and sugar, you're still hungry. You got the munchies. And so at least 30,000 years ago, Mr. Wallach starts, driven by a salt hunger, began to mix wood ashes. That's wood ashes were used to cut the more valuable salt 3-to-1. To as much as 10-to-1 to extend its volume, and with their dietary salt, add them directly to food as culinary ashes, and additionally mix the balance of each day's production of ashes into their gardens as a mineral-rich fertilizer, which resulted in greater fertility, survival rates of children, longer lives, and stronger skeletons that survived the millennia. You know, you got women running around today, oh, I've got osteoporosis, but thank God for Merck and Pfizer, I've got this pill that I take just once a month. Well, okay. You know, if you need to go to Pfizer or Merck to buy an expensive vitamin C pill or a vitamin, or a calcium pill, that's fine. You're on the right track. You got a calcium deficiency. I would beg to differ, you know, with Merck and Pfizer that I need to go spend, you know, $1,000 a month taking osteoporosis medication so that I can get enough calcium. I think I can get calcium in other ways, and I can save a little money in the process. And that's what most of you people are doing, running to the doctor over here, is you're taking your vitamins in prescription form that costs a lot of money. And I don't deny it for a minute. I mean, if you come down with rickets or beriberi, as we looked at in the last program, you go to the doctor, he'll take care of that. He knows what causes rickets and beriberi and scurvy. And he's got a medication. He's going to prescribe it for you. This will cure you. And he's not lying to you. It will. But, you know, you could go down to the health food store and you could buy probably a lifetime supply of vitamin A or vitamin D. You know, cod liver oil, you know, is what you use to cure rickets, and or to prevent it, you know, prevent or cure it. Hell, if you just ate fish, for crying out loud, once a week, you'd do the same thing. Just eat fish. Fish is where you get that vitamin A. Where in the hell did you think cod liver oil came from? Do you think cod are the only critters out there in the ocean, you know, that have this cod liver oil? Salmon have it. And they're called antioxidants. There's other good things. You know, when God designed salmon and fish oil and some nutrients, and he didn't do a bad job. He, you know, for an old guy, you know, he did pretty good. He got everything into the food that you needed there. He put all of the vitamins and minerals into the wheat. We're the guys that came along and denatured the wheat. He had all the vitamins and minerals, you know, in the rice. We're the guys that came along and polished the rice, wanting to fix God's mistake, you know. he made this ugly rice, and so we fixed it up, made it more palatable by polishing it, so that now we have this white rice. And then, of course, then you get disease that goes along with it. Go to the doctor, and the doctor will give you a prescription which will contain these vitamins, along with some other neat stuff that's in the drug. Probably something to make you addicted to it, so that he can keep selling this drug to you and make you dependent upon him forever. I think that independence would probably be a better program for you if you stop thinking about it. Now notice the use of wood ashes. I'm on chapter 11. I want to point out these wood ashes to you. And I mentioned this a little earlier. This chapter here identifies the problem. Now, he uses the term 30,000 years ago. I think we'd be closer to reality if we went back about 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. But then, you know, evidently Wallach is an evolutionist, and more power to him. We're not here arguing over the creation or the 30,000-year evolutionary timescale. We're just pointing out here that back a long time ago, people used wood ashes, and they ate them. Now, you know, if I said to you, let's go have some wood ashes, you know, if I had a salt shaker, you know, and you said, well, what's in the salt shaker? It's all gray and it's kind of powdery. And I'd say, those are wood ashes. I just go over there to the stove and scoop out some ash and mix it with the salt. You know, you'd probably be offended if I told you that. You'd probably get up and walk out. I mean, can you imagine going into McDonald's and you say, what in the world is this? Well, that's salt mixed with wood ashes. Because our Big Macs and our French fries are totally mineral and vitamin deficient, and so we want to put vitamins and minerals on the table for you. Why? You know, you're not going to buy that. Now, the use of wood ashes by humans appeared at about the same time amongst all human cultures worldwide in a parallel development. Salt and mineral hunger is not a newly acquired drive. It's as old as the human being himself. Now, over the thousands of years, the millennia, little has changed in the human habit of consuming wood ash minerals as culinary ash added to their food and additionally using them as fertilizer. Until 3 p.m. on Monday, September the 4th, 1882, that is, when the first commercial electric generating plant was brought online in New York City by Thomas Alva Edison. Well, by 1950, almost all American urban homes were heated with electricity, gas, oil, coal, or propane. Almost every American homemaker cooked on an electric, gas, or propane stove. And 90% of rural American homes were heated with or cooked with electricity, gas, or propane. The new kitchen conveniences were successfully marketed by trumpeting the end of kitchen drudgery. No more messy stove or furnace ashes to take outdoors. At about the same time, wood fuels transitioned into electrical, gas, and propane. And the home vegetable and corn garden became a labor of love for a few hobbyists as opposed to supplying a significant part of the family food supply as it had for 30,000 years. Now, the results of these technological advances and cultural shifts were catastrophic. First of all, people moved off the land and they left their traditional backyard gardens with the land back out in the farm communities behind, and then they purchased food from the large grocery store chains, Safeway and Kroger, that obtained their products from commercially grown sources, you know, like Archer Daniels Midland and ConAgra, that use commercial NKP, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium chemical fertilizers. And then, two, the traditional source of minerals, that is the culinary wood ashes, that are necessary to meet our daily need for essential minerals, was suddenly and even proactively replaced with clean fuels that left no waste, sooty pots, or messy byproduct. That messy byproduct is the ashes in the stove. Now here, for instance, you know about every 3 or 4 days we have a furnace out here. and I got a wood heating stove up in the kitchen. About every 3, 4, 5 days, you know, I got to empty the ashes out of it. And then I pull the ashes out into a pan. I dump the pan into a bucket and take the bucket down, put it on the garden. Or I take it out and I put it out in the field, you know, spread it out over the grass. God, those cows just love that grass with the ash on it. I got an orchard out here where I put this ash, you know, a lot of ash. And when those cows get out, the first place they go is to the orchard. Well, they don't go down to the orchard to prune trees. They go down there to eat grass. It isn't because there isn't any grass out in the field. It's that the grass that's in the orchard must taste a lot better than the grass that's out in the field because it's got all those wood ashes on. And so, of course, here's my cows. They're eating this grass that's got the wood ash on it, which has got the minerals, which then goes into the milk, which then I drink the milk, and so then I'm the beneficiary of it. And I kind of attribute that to having a little better than average health. Now, we used to do that here in America, but we don't anymore. And then there's a result that comes from that. It's a choice that we all make. I mean, you know, you'd rather live in the city with cement under your feet, cook on a gas stove, and heat with gas or oil or something like that, so that you can eliminate these wood ashes. I mean, you don't like those wood ashes because they're messy. All right, I hear you. Now, as a result of that, you've got a mineral deficiency. So now you go down to the health food store and you buy all these pills, put them in these little boxes, and you religiously sit here at the table and guzzle down your pills, you know, every morning, noon, and night. I mean, if that's the way you want to live, that's fine. Number three, the availability of and the rate of consumption of empty sugar-sweetened calories like breads, pasta, potatoes, snacks, soft drinks rose dramatically. That's what Americans eat today. They eat sugar-sweetened calories in breads, pasta, potatoes, snacks, soft drinks. And they love it. It tastes real good. But it doesn't have any nutrients. So you're always hungry. So you're always eating. And you're always getting fatter. And then you go on a diet. And this costs you a lot of money. And you go to the doctor. They got a new process out now. You go in for surgery, and they cut out about half your stomach and tie it off. Does it work? Well, yeah. Sure it does. And it's one of the fastest growing surgeries in America today. You know, you take this guy that's overweight or this woman overweight, and they just can't control their weight. Well, that's true. You just can't control your appetite. You're starving to death. You need vitamins and minerals, and you don't want wood ash, you don't want mess, do you? But you know, every time you make a decision in life, there's a repercussion that comes from it. And life is filled with decisions. My decision is, yes, my wood stove is messy. Yes, my wood stove has got ash that has to be carried out. Yes, my wood stove is good for me, because it gives me minerals to put in my garden. It gives me minerals to put on my food. And so I don't see wood ash as being a curse. I see it as being a blessing. I guess it's just part of your upbringing, you know. How do you view it? What do you think about it? And then finally, number four, physical activity and personal expenditure of work energy was significantly reduced. Now, being overweight and being obese is synonymous with being an American. However, other industrialized nations are not far behind in their rates of obesity. The pica, or cribbing, and the munchies, classic behaviors, are always associated with being overweight and obese. These cravings are solely a reflection of mineral deficiencies, either vitamin deficiencies, or protein deficiencies, or they could be fat deficiencies or calorie deficiencies. And these deficiencies will produce the munchies behavior. And only mineral deficiencies will produce the munchies. Now, the snack food and the fast food industries are fully aware of the relationship between mineral deficiency and cravings. For example, sugar, salt, chocolate, and carbohydrates. Mineral deficiencies and being mineral deficiency and the munchies, and they're all using these behaviors to their financial advantage. This binging on food. The snack food industry knew that mineral deficiencies produce a psychotic eating drive, just as the giant tobacco companies knew that cigarettes were addictive. The munchies' behaviors are often extreme in small children and teenagers because these age groups have the highest need for energy and minerals to support growth and development. As a result, snack food and soft drink companies have paid millions of dollars to be the sole suppliers of snacks and soft drinks in large county and municipal school districts. So the kids pay for the advertising by buying the sweetened or salted treats, and they become addicted to the brand while they're frantically looking for minerals. Historically, the consumption of salt to satisfy the pica behavior was of value because salt contained some traces of other minerals and was mixed with wood ashes to extend the more valuable salt. Today, salt consumption, although contrary to popular belief, is not in and of itself harmful. It does, however, present the problem of allowing our bodies to think that we're also getting a wider supply of essential minerals than we're really getting. Let me pause here and make an observation. You know this commercial salt that you're buying here, you know this Morton salt, you know, when it rains and it pours? Well, you're buying salt, all right. It's sodium chloride, but it's denatured. And what they do is they take the sea salt down here in San Francisco Bay, and they evaporate the water out of it. Then they take that salt and they heat it, and they take all the minerals out of it and give you the sodium chloride. And then they take the minerals and make mineral blocks and sell it to the cattlemen, or they sell it to the pharmaceutical companies to put into their drugs or to put into their mineral blocks. So I buy natural salt that comes from, it's called Atlantic Sea Salt. There's other places to buy it. I'm not telling you that you have to buy it from the Atlantic Ocean, but I happen to buy this Atlantic Sea Salt. It comes from France. Kind of pricey. Costs you about $1 a pound. Well, it's either that, see, because it's got all the minerals in it. That's one of the reasons that I like that natural sea salt. Now, you can get salt that comes out of salt deposits. Like there's an outfit out in Utah that sells salt. It's a red salt. Now, you know, most people, when you see salt, natural salt is gray in color. It's not white. It's red, it's pink, it's gray, but it's not white. So when I see white table salt, I say, oh, this is the denatured stuff. This is salt, but it doesn't have any minerals in it. Now, your body craves salt, and so you buy salt and you put this salt on your food. You can't get enough of it. Can't get enough. And that's because your body is lacking in the minerals. Now, when you get real salt that's got salt with minerals mixed into it, pretty soon you can eat and you can get up from the table and you're not hungry. And you don't have the munchies, and you don't need to go to the refrigerator, and you don't need a bag of potato chips and two Cokes. So if you've got the munchies, you're starving to death. That's what the munchies is telling you. The munchies says, I'm hungry. And there's no doubt about it. But eating more empty calories just makes you fat. That doesn't solve your munchie or your hunger problem. You got to have some real food to solve that hunger problem. All right, so let me pause right there and give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy, procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. That's 8 schools, you know. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, if you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I might mention here, a lot of times people call. Now they'll say, I heard your broadcast, and then I can't get it again on this radio station or whatever. Well, all of these broadcasts, which are put out on radio stations all over the world, are archived. And a radio station may pick up our broadcast, and they may play it for a month or a week and then drop it. See, it's free. They can download it just like you can right off of our website. And then they don't have to pay ASCAP for the programming. They don't have to pay Rush Limbaugh, you know, $3 million a year to rebroadcast this program. This program is free to radio stations, and so they avail themselves of it. But after they've filled in a spot and they get somebody that's paying for it, because, see, I'm not paying for that radio time. So then they drop my program, and then people say, God, I was listening to this program, and now the station doesn't have any more. Just go to our webpage, and there's more than 2,600 of these programs that have been archived. 2,600, I think I saw the other day. And you can just download them, or you can put them on CD, or you can just listen to them on your computer, or whatever you'd like. So that's why I tell you, you know, that our website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. These archives, these programs are made here in the studio, and then they go off to our producer, and then he puts them up on the Internet. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right. Now, I've got to remind you that the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. We do a lot of research here to make sure that what we're telling you here is correct. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements are recommendations that we give. They don't mean that the author or publication that we endorse and recommend is necessarily going to reciprocate. Dr. Wallach, he may just despise me. That happens every once in a while. You know, we'll get a letter in here. Don't you use my material on your ratty, crummy radio station or your program. They get real offended because they don't agree with us, you know, on some other matter. And so we like to point out that just because we endorse somebody doesn't mean they're going to endorse us. And then people will call the law school. Do you know what that guy is saying about you? No, and I'd really probably rather not know what he's saying about me. It's probably not very complimentary. Now, most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour, they're political or they're religious or they're economic, or they may be sectarian or racial or ethnic partisans. And we here at the Law Hour and Editorial Review don't necessarily, you know, endorse or recommend everything that everybody says. Then it's when we disagree with somebody or we say something that guy doesn't agree with, you know, and then he says, well, that guy Gordon, he's a total jerk. We take a little different view here at the Law Hour. We see information that's very valuable. For instance, Mr. Wallach subscribes to evolutionary philosophy and billions of years ago. I don't. But that doesn't take away from his overall work in this book, you know, just because he's got a fairy tale belief here, you know, in evolution doesn't mean that his science is no good or that his mineral block on the dining room table isn't a good idea. I can't tell you how highly I recommend Dr. Wallach's mineral block on the dining room table. God, I love it. Then dead doctors don't lie. He just hit the nail right on the head. But that doesn't mean that he's going to recommend me, per se. Now, keep in mind these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, remember, they're mine and mine alone. So don't blame the radio station or the network or somebody else. No, just blame me. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. And we appreciate the opportunity to come on the air. You know, these radio stations, you know, that play our program over here, you know, they a lot of times, you know, they don't agree with what we say or what we believe and practice over here, but they can't resist it because, you know, they get free programming. As a result of that, you know, they say, well, we'll put up with that. But I like to point out to you that you ought not to blame them, you know, because of something that I say. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing a dynamite book here called Hell's Kitchen, written by Dr. Joel Wallach. And I ought to point out that you can get a copy of this book from bravenewbookstore.com. I plug Brave New Bookstore. They provide a very valuable service to those of us that would like to get these underground books. You need to understand that not every bookstore will carry a book like this. Did you know that? That a lot of times books are banned by publishing houses. I noticed that this book is published by an outfit that's called Wellness Publications, LLC. Well, now that's not exactly Bantam Books, you know, or Simon & Schuster. You know, this book isn't going to be found on the New York Times bestseller list. And so what they do is they ban these kinds of books. And some bookstores, they won't even carry them. You couldn't get this book on a bet. And so Brave New Bookstore comes on the scene, and they carry hundreds of these kinds of books that, you know, tell you where the bodies are buried. You can rest assured that the American Medical Association and that the American Cancer Society, they're not going to recommend this book. And if they had anything to say about it, they'd burn it. In fact, they'd brand it as hate speech. So tuck that away in your mind. And if it weren't for stores, you know, like the BraveNewBookstore.com, or like a Joel Wallach over here, you couldn't get this information. It's just not going to be available. You can rest assured that the FDA, Merck, and Pfizer aren't going to publish it. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now he goes on to say here, cribbing is a name given to a particular form of pica in domestic animals. A good husbandryman knows when a horse or cow cribs. That is, he chews or gnaws on a wooden feed box, wagon rails, fence, hitching post, or barn door, or eats dirt. The animal really has a craving for minerals that are deficient in his diet. Mineral-starved animals will at first consume large quantities of supplemental minerals until their cravings are satisfied, and they will automatically reduce their level of consumption to a maintenance level. Salt appetite is very striking in both pregnant animals and humans. Bizarre cravings are legendary in pregnant humans. For example, cornstarch, pickles, dirt, wood ashes, plaster, clay. From antiquity, the descriptions of cravings or pica are associated with pregnant women. The Hawaiian king, King somebody from Hawaii, his mother, Queen, you know, she had the same name, had cravings for eyeballs, and although she specifically wanted chief's eyes, she was given the eyes of sharks to eat. Geophagia, or earth-eating, is very common in mineral-deficient pregnant humans. pica, or perverted appetite, or irresistible cravings is characterized by the eating of bizarre or unsuitable non-food substances or fattening non-food such as high sugar and high carbohydrate snacks and soft drinks has been a curiosity for philosophers, doctors, and priests for thousands of years. Pica is a symptom of mineral deficiencies, and it's universal in the world and has been reported in animals and humans of all age groups. So if your wife says she wants a peanut butter and onion sandwich, you know, what she's going through here is a pica craving. And it's very natural because the fetus that she's pregnant with is consuming the minerals and nutrients out of her body. And so she needs to pick those up. Now, she's not going to get those in Coca-Cola and Lay's Frito-Lay potato chips. She's going to get those in wood ashes, though. Now, I remember my wife, you know, she was pregnant and she was eating crazy stuff. I mean, pickles and peanut butter and onions and, you know, stuff that, you know, it's normal food to eat. But, you know, do you put onions on your peanut butter sandwich and pickles and stuff like that? And these crazy combinations are just as normal as can be because she needed the vitamins and minerals that were in these foods. And so to her, this tasted real good. Just like a banana tastes real good, you know, when you're hungry for a banana until you've eaten one or two. And then, oh, boy, no, I don't want any more of that. Now, in modern times, the easy availability of candy, sugared high-calorie snacks, high-sugar soft drinks, juices, and salted junk foods of all types has led to obesity when people feel the obsessive, almost psychotic deep cravings of pica. I have to eat, and I have to eat it all. People wouldn't crave or consume the empty calories found in snack foods if they were properly nourished with the essential minerals. No amount of advertising or giveaway coupons and gimmicks would drive humans to constantly consume snacks and junk food. When one is well nourished with minerals, junk foods and snacks just are not interesting or appetizing. When people are deficient in minerals, the call to eat is an endless, incessant obsession that can only be subdued by an individual's will for but a short time. Eventually, the mineral-deficient individual will wake up in the middle of the night and eat an entire 20-pound ham or an entire German chocolate cake. In the end, pica will always win the battle of the binge. And a doctoral thesis on pica by Augustus Mergulitis in 1701 begins with the definition of pica. He said, "The malady pica is called chitta in Greek. Its derivation comes from the name of the common magpie because the bird pica is the Latin name for a magpie. Itself is believed to suffer from some malady, a mineral deficiency. Yes, even wild animals suffer from mineral deficiencies because it flits from tree to tree, constantly seeking food, or because it enjoys all sorts of foods." Now, a catalog of bizarre examples of pica is found in Mergulitis' thesis. In men, he recorded one individual who ate leather, wood, nestlings, and live mice. A second consumed woolen garments, leather, a live cat, and some mice. A third ate cattails and decomposed human bodies infested with maggots. In Mergulitis' female subjects, he recorded women who ate human flesh, including one particularly horrible lady. She lured children to her home with sweets, killed them, and then pickled them for her daily fare. Now, why do people want to eat humans? Because they taste good. Because it satisfies their mineral deficiencies. Now, meat has minerals. So, if you're eating meat, that's not bad. Unless, of course, you're eating unclean meat. Unclean doesn't mean dirty. It means that the meat that you're eating is biblically unclean. It's pig, lobster, clam, something like that. And hey, those critters may taste good. Then that's because you've got this pica. And you've got the munchies and you just can never satisfy yourself. Now I might stop here and point out that Dr. Wallach is in the mineral business and they have a mineral supplement program. And he wrote a book one day and he said he was really being chastised by this doctor and said, you know, you're just urinating all these minerals down the toilet. And Wallach got to thinking about that and he said, well, that's true. If your body has 100% of all the minerals that it needs, and you take some more minerals in, do you know what your body is going to do with those minerals? It's just going to throw them off in your feces and urine. Now, under ordinary circumstances, it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, when was the last time you did a feces sample to find out how your body is utilizing copper or iron? I mean, if you're like I am, you know, you really never gave it a second thought. You flush the toilet, and that's the end of it. Now, let's suppose that you eat a banana and you get plenty of potassium, and then you eat another banana, and you got more potassium than your body can handle. Well, all that's going to happen is that your feces and urine are going to have a potassium-rich component to it. Because your body can only use so much. And you want to have plenty in your body as a store so that, you know, tomorrow, next week, when you need more potassium, your body just goes out here to some fat cell and jerks it out and uses it where it needs it. Your body is well designed to do that. Now, if you don't have this potassium, your body searches around and it can't find it. And so now you're potassium deficient. Okay, well now you get the munchies. And your munchie should be for another banana. It'll be for something that contains this mineral. And, you know, bananas aren't the only thing that contains potassium, but you'll be hungry for broccoli or Brussels sprouts or for some crazy reason it'll taste real good to you. But then when you get full of it, you'll say, oh, just I don't want any more of that. Your body's full. Now, it is true, if we do a chemical analysis, the medical doctors, he's not lying to you, he said, look at that, you're just urinating it down the toilet. You're going to the health food store and you're buying these vitamins and minerals and just urinating them down the toilet. Just wasting your money. Well, wait a minute, hang on a second here. Hang on. Let's suppose you come down with scurvy, you go to the doctor, and does he say, oh my God, don't come in here and take these drugs. You'll just be urinating drugs down the toilet, throwing money away. Why, instead, go to the grocery store and buy some bell peppers and just eat your vitamin C in the form of food. Hell, he's not going to tell you to do that. That's where this hypocrisy comes in. See? Now, Wallach, he sells this vitamin and mineral supplement. It contains all 92 of these vitamins and minerals. Which is kind of rare. Now, not all vitamins and minerals contain all 90 of them. They'll contain a bunch. And then, of course, the minerals that these vitamins contain, well, then you've got the vitamins and minerals that are in that, but the ones that aren't in it, aren't in it. You're not getting those. That's why I like Wallach's program. Now, when you take these Wallach vitamins and mineral supplements, your body is going to have 100% of everything it needs. In fact, it'll be about 125 or 30 or 150%. And your body will use up all that it can, and then what's left over, it'll just go out in your waste. So what? It was going to go out in your waste whether you ate the banana or whether you took it in the form of a pill. But the doctor, when he's selling you drugs, he's selling you vitamins and minerals in the drug. Scurvy is not cured by drugs. Scurvy is cured by vitamin C. The drug he's selling you has vitamin C in it. That's all. And it's a hell of a lot more expensive than vitamins and minerals. Now, the cheapest way for you to get your vitamins and minerals is in your food. Unfortunately, as Wallach points out here, you're not going to be able to get all of your vitamins and minerals in your food because it isn't in there to start with. They're growing it chemically. Now, if you can afford to buy organic foods, now you're starting to get back to where people are putting more organic material in the soil instead of chemicals. Now, plants grow very well on these chemicals. I mean, if you want to have nice, big, healthy, green plants, put a healthy dose of chemical fertilizer on there. But you're not going to get the chemicals to come through in the form of minerals in the food. That isn't going to happen. For instance, he's got a story in here about iodine. Now, goiter. I haven't seen goiter in the last 50 years, but when I was a kid, goiter was common. I mean, you could just, you know, half the people had goiter. Now, goiter was what we call Adam's apple. And some people had it worse than others, you know, and they'd be talking to you and they'd have this lump in their throat. And this lump would go up and down, you know, from the bottom of their jaw down to the top of their collarbone, you know, and back and forth, and this thing would just jump up and down, you know, as they were talking. It was kind of funny. It's kind of fun and kind of funny. It's called goiter. Well, this goiter was a physical deformity caused by an iodine deficiency. And so back in the 1930s, I think it was the Morton or Leslie Salt Company, they started adding this mineral, iodine. It's a necessary mineral. Boys and girls, you got to have it. Iodine. They started adding it to the salt. And that's why the salt says iodized salt. Or it'll say plain salt, or it'll say iodized salt. All right. Now, this iodized salt cured goiter in the whole population of America because everybody is eating iodized salt now, and so nobody has goiter in this country. At least I haven't seen it. There's another cause and effect relationship. No big mystery to it. Now, the deficiency of iodine, which caused this goiter, is simple. Just add it to the food. Now, if they could add these vitamins and minerals back into our food, we could probably solve our problem. But these vitamins and minerals that they're sticking in your food aren't assimilable. You can't assimilate them into your body. Your cells can't pick them up. They've got to either come out of a plant or it's got to be a natural mineral. It's got to be something. And so this pica that he's talking about here in chapter 11 is a natural craving that you have to get these minerals. And you're not going to get them in your food because the chemical foods that you're buying over here, they're growing bins and bushels of these foods that are deficient in the vitamins and minerals, which then give you these deficiency diseases. Goiter isn't one of them, but you got minerals and vitamin deficiencies that are giving you cancer, heart attack, stroke, and Parkinson's disease, and muscular dystrophy, and breast cancer, and on it goes. So it's a phony argument on the part of medical doctors, which is aptly pointed out by Dr. Wallach when he says, now listen, would you rather spend 50 cents a day? Now this is what it's going to cost you for this Wallach program, 50 cents a day. Times 365 days divided by 2 is $182.50, rounded off to $200. Now if you've got 4 people living in your family, you know, this is the average American family, and it's costing you $200. It'll cost you $800 a year. Now, right away, you're saying, oh, my God, I've got these bills, and I still don't know how I'm going to pay all these bills. Okay, cancel your health insurance. See, your health insurance costs you $10,000 a year. That's what I did. I just canceled my health insurance. So there's the $10,000. Now, I need about $4,000 a year. Excuse me, I need about $200 times 4. I need about $800 a year. So let's round that off to $1,000. So I save $10,000 in health insurance. I spend $1,000 on Wallach supplements. And I don't get sick because I've got all of the nutrients that I need. And then I can afford to urinate 50 cents a day down the toilet. But I still got $9,000 left over that I can take the old lady on a Carnival cruise, or I can go out here and spend it on my Winnebago or do something else. You know, these are all choices that you have to make. Now, you know, most people have insurance on the brain. They have to have insurance. They just can't live without insurance. Well, okay. Okay. Spend $10,000 on insurance because you're going to need it. If you're vitamin and mineral deficient, you're going to get sick. So now you need that $10,000 to pay the doctor for these prescriptions and the office calls and the insurance company that's paying for all of this. I figured that $200 is cheaper than $10,000, that's all. I'd rather spend $1,000 on vitamins and minerals and urinate them down the toilet than I would to spend $10,000 on health insurance and then get sick and then go collect on my health insurance to get my vitamins and minerals from a doctor's prescription. That's all. I find that it's cheaper, it's faster, it's easier, it's more convenient. And when we get to these wood ashes over here, when I measure the inconvenience with the wood ashes compared with the health benefits, I don't see that it's a big curse at all. Yeah, it's a little more work. Yeah, it's a little more time, effort, and energy. But and I'm not running around hungry all the time, you know. I'm satisfied. Now, I like potato chips, and I like Krispy Kremes. The other day, the wife brought some Krispy Kremes home, and she brought a dozen home. And about half of them got stale and we threw them out. You know, I can pick up a couple of Krispy Kremes and eat them and they taste real good, but you know, they're not satisfying because I'm satisfied with my bananas. I'm satisfied with my salt. And I can eat a Krispy Kreme and they taste real good. Hell, I can drink a Coke once in a while. But you know, Coca-Cola just doesn't taste near as good as it used to when I was 16. And that's because at age 16, I was suffering from pica. And I had the munchies, and I was always out here eating and eating and eating, and I just couldn't get enough of anything to eat. And then one day somebody said, you know, you're starving to death, Gordon. And then when I started eating, well, I found out that, hey, I don't need all of these salted Planters peanuts. I don't need all of these various and sundry sweets and snacks. So there's the story on chapter 11. You need wood ashes. You know, you need to mix some ashes with your salt. You need iodine in your salt. You need some natural salt. You need good, healthy, nutritious foods. Take your wood ashes out, stick them in your garden so that your rutabagas and carrots have the minerals in them. Then you don't need to buy Wallach's mineral supplements. And if you can't do that, then get Wallach's mineral supplements. They're as good as any. Probably better than most, and they certainly don't cost any more. All right, we're about done with today's story, so let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. So, till then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.